Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you would, then, stand with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to find verse number 7. I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 7, the Bible says this: By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known. And that's where the sermon comes from, right there in verse number 9. As unknown and yet well known. Brother Dave, I think you're picking up. We had just a little bit of a ring. Okay, and let's pray. Father, bless us today. Lord, the book, the Bible, you wrote it. You've asked that someone preach it. Today at this church, I have the privilege and honor of preaching your book. But God, I can't do it justice, not by myself. So Holy Spirit of God, would you please reach down from glory, touch our minds, touch our hearts. Father, might we today understand something about you and about your book better because we were in church, because it was preached, because it was taught. And God, for those who might fit the category of description of the day, might they be encouraged, might all of us be challenged. Spirit of God, do a work in our midst, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, my sermon is very much so to the people that I think I would describe as the humble. You will be able to apply this sermon to your life if you're proud, but I would say to the humble, I think that the sermon of today ought to be a little bit more of an encouragement to you. If you're a non-position seeker, I think you'll enjoy the sermon this morning. If you're not interested in being in the limelight, and if you're not the life of the party necessarily, you just simply serve God in a humble way, I think maybe you'll be encouraged a little extra by today's sermon. Here, there is a phrase that captured my attention. It's found in 2 Corinthians 6, 9. When I was reading it, I noticed it said, as unknown and yet well known. That was very interesting to me. I began to ponder it. I began to think about those words that God used. And so you know, there are no mistakes in the Bible. God didn't just throw something in there to waste a word here or there. God knew exactly what he was saying and knew exactly why he would say it. Someone's name may not be known, but maybe the quality in their life is very well known. And folks, I need us all to understand something. Being known by man is not... it's not the goal anyway. Listen, you say there are a lot of people that know me, and I'm not against that. But could I recommend you want to be known of God and you want to know God, and that is the ultimate goal of a Christian's life? I think there are a lot of Bible characters who are quite well known. They get a lot of attention, and there's nothing wrong with that. God made it that way. I think of Noah, who was so well known. A preacher of righteousness, and children tell the story about the ark and the saved and the lost both. They know about Noah. Moses, what a well-known Bible character. The author of the first five books of the Bible. The Bible scholars call it the Pentateuch. But now God's the author of the first five books of the Bible, but God used Moses to write them, and one of God's most powerful leaders, I mean a powerhouse of a leader, was Moses. And who's not heard the name Moses? And then there's Elijah, so well known. He calls down fire from the sky on Mount Carmel, and what a man of God. And then there's David. David the psalmist, David the one that fought Goliath, David the warrior, David the king. Oh, so well known. We think of Mary, the virgin mother of Jesus Christ. People know that name. They know about Mary. And then Paul. We know the name Paul in the New Testament. My, maybe the name that is best known throughout the entire New Testament other than Jesus Christ. You know, I think most people know Paul started out and was putting Christians to death, but one day meets Jesus Christ and he goes from destroying Christians and Christianity, becoming the champion of the faith in the New Testament and probably penned 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. Peter, what a great man, and everybody knew about Peter, and Peter preached on Pentecost and had 3,000 people get saved and baptized in one day. A couple of books in the Bible are named after him. You get into the Old Testament, you've heard the name Esther, and she's so well known. She saves her uncle Mordecai and all the Jews in the kingdom from the wicked leader named Haman. We know those names. We know about Noah and Moses and Elijah and David. We've heard Mary and Paul and Peter and Esther, but I have to tell you, there are many more Bible characters that are not as well known, but yet they're greatly known. They're not as well known by maybe me and you, but I will promise you, God never lost sight on some of these great Bible characters that are not as known. Did you know being unknown does not make them unimportant? May I say of you, you say, Pastor, I'm a part of the church, but nobody really knows me. Did you know being unknown does not make you unimportant? And it may be that someone around here doesn't know your name. Maybe there are many someones that don't know your name. But I'll tell you something. God knows your name. God knows your name. And I loved it when I stumbled across the verse that said, as unknown and yet well known. There are people in the Bible who... there are characters throughout the Bible that many do not know much about them. They don't have a famous name like Noah or Moses or Mary or Paul. But you know, you don't have to be well known to do good things. And you don't have to be well known even to do great things. Serving God's not all about becoming known. Serving God is all about letting Him become known. He's to get the glory. He's to get the honor. You don't have to be a household name to be important to the house of God. Are some of your good deeds unknown? Is it possible that you're busy about doing good things and accomplishing things for God, but nobody really much knows about it? Maybe nobody much knows about the good things that you do. I'll make you a promise. God's keeping track. And there's even an additional promise. Not only is He keeping track, I think there is probably much greater reward in heaven for those who are the unknown greats opposed to the known greats. I think there are people in here, you've heard names like, someone like a Lester Olof or someone like a Lee Robertson. And those are great men, Curtis Hudson, men that serve God in a great, great way. You say, boy, from that last generation, I've heard those names. I have a hunch when we get to heaven, God's going to ask some people to approach the throne before us all. And you're going to say, what was that name, God? I've never heard that name before. And there are going to be some people that will approach God's throne and God's going to say, let me tell you about this person right here. You're going to say, I didn't even know them. God said, but I did. And He will reveal to us some powerhouses for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's people that very humbly just walked in the back door of church and not much fanfare, didn't look for position, they weren't looking for notoriety, they didn't have to have a pat on the back, they didn't have to have a reserved parking spot, they didn't need anything like that. They just simply loved God and served Him. Matter of fact, they were probably a little timid about being known and position and notoriety and name in lights. They weren't looking for that, they just humbly, to the best of their ability, served God. I got to thinking about some names in the Bible, and I just maybe we'll have a little Bible history for a second. I think there were some great people in the Bible, but their names, these are not Noah's or Moses's or David's or Esther's or Mary's. Just some names, and now a few of you say, "Oh, I know who that is," but many people say, "I've never even heard that name." But remember, the fact that another human being's heard the name is not really what Christianity is all about. It's that God knew who they were. And God knew what they were. You take, for instance, there's an unknown preacher by the name of Mackay. He's an unknown preacher, but yet well known to God. I'll read to you from 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. It says, "And Jehoshaphat said, Is there none here, a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is one man, Mackay, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so." Let me tell you the story here. Jehoshaphat and Ahab were considering an alliance. Ahab had gone to his personal prophets and said, "Should we form this alliance?" And they told Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. Well, Jehoshaphat, who he was thinking about having the alliance, he said, Isn't there a real preacher around here that won't just tell us what we want to hear?" Mackay said, "There's this one guy, and he would just tell you how it is." And Jehoshaphat said, "You don't say." Well, Mackay did advise. Man, it cost him a little bit. But I can tell you this, he stood for truth. He stood for truth when it was unpopular. He was outnumbered, but he was honest. And to be honest with you, it cost him some clout. I mean, when you heard what was said, Jehoshaphat said to Ahab, he said, "Isn't there a preacher around here that will just tell it like it is?" And it was said, "Yeah, there's this one guy, but I don't like him. He does not prophesy good about me." Well, I'm glad that there's a man that most people have never heard of in the Old Testament by the name of Mackay. And I'm glad that Mackay may have not been popular, and maybe he didn't have his name in the newspaper, and maybe he was not looked up to a whole lot. But I'm glad that he was in the Bible, because Mackay was unknown maybe to you and I, but I can guarantee you he was known by God. And you know, there are some of you, you stand for truth. You may not get a lot of credit for standing for truth, and it may not be that you get to get up in the pulpit like I do and throw a fit about truth, but you stand for truth. You say, "But preacher, nobody knows me while I'm standing for truth." Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. God knows you, Christian. Unknown, and yet well known by God. I was thinking of a lady in the Old Testament that I think is highly, highly underrated. Her name is Vashti. People name their children Esther, and I wish somebody had named their daughter Vashti. Vashti something. Vashti, an unknown queen who was yet well known by God. In Esther chapter 1, verse number 12, it says, "But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him." King Ahasuerus was one of the most powerful men in the world and really wanted to conquer more of the world than already had conquered most of the world. He calls 100 of his leaders together and they have a great big party. This King Ahasuerus had a wife by the name of Vashti. He wanted to impress all of these male leaders, so he commands that his wife come and dance before all of those men. Now, I want you to understand, Vashti, the Bible says she was a very, very beautiful woman. And I think this dance, the implication here is that it was a striptease type of a dance. And thank God, Vashti said, "I can't do that." She stood for morality, and she stood for decency, and she stood for propriety, and she stood for modesty, and she stood for keeping herself clothed appropriately. And I have to tell you, what ended up happening is she got banned from the kingdom, and they turned her into a mockery. But thank God for Vashti. You say, "Well, I've never really heard the name Vashti. Maybe unknown by you, but I'll promise you, the day that Vashti said, 'I am not going to get up there and strip myself down, and I'm not going to show myself off to all those men that I'm not married to, I'm not going to be like that,' I think God in heaven said, say, 'But I've never heard of her.' You don't have to hear of her. Vashti was unknown, but yet well known. Micaiah, unknown. I mean, really, when you hear someone talking about Old Testament saints and the Old Testament leaders, they talk about Elijah and David and Paul in the New Testament. But how often do they talk about Micaiah? But God knew who he was. Unknown, yet well known to God. Thirdly, might I remind us all, the unknown lad who gave his lunch to Jesus so Jesus could feed thousands. Unknown lad, but yet well known to God. In John chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Here's the story. 5,000 men and their families needed fed. They were following Jesus and they were hungry and there was no food. Philip said, "How in the world are we going to feed all these people?" And there was a boy there, a lad, and he had 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish. And that lad sacrifices, gives up his lunch, and Jesus takes it and he feeds all 5,000 men, their wives, and all their kids. Now, if those were Baptist people, you had 5,000 men, 5,000 wives, and 20 million kids. Because we take it personally about this thing of replenishing the earth. You understand how many people got fed by that boy. He sacrificed. What a sacrifice, that boy. You say, well, who is he? I don't know. But I'm impressed. Say, so what's his name, preacher? I don't know. Unknown. How many have ever heard that story before? Would you raise your hand? Unknown, but well known. Folks, this whole thing, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about God. It's all about purity. It's all about the qualities of right and decency. And nobody much knows Vashti, but she stood for something. And nobody much knew Micaiah, but he stood for something. And nobody much knew this kid. He's just a boy that gave up his lunch, but he went down in history. He was unknown, yet well known. Why? He sacrificed. And let me say to some of you, you make sacrifices. There are people in here. You sacrifice your time and your money. And some of you sacrifice comfort and you help your church and you help people around your church. And there are simple young bus workers that sacrificed of themselves over the weekend. And nobody knows who they are. And we're not going to use their name in the pulpit. But let me say to those of you that have sacrificed in Sunday school and on your bus route and around the church and for the cause of Christ. You say, I'm unknown. You may be unknown by man, but you're not unknown by God. Unknown, yet well known. Not only that, I was thinking of the Old Testament character by the name of Uriah. An unknown man named Uriah, I believe, was greatly known by God. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says that, "And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house. There followed him a mess of meat from the king, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not down to his house." Here's the story. King David had committed adultery with Uriah's wife named Bathsheba. Uriah was off at war. Bathsheba ends up being pregnant, and King David wanted to cover up this pregnancy that was the fault of the other man. And I'm sorry, which was David's fault. He wants to cover it up. So what he does is he says to Uriah, he says, "Uriah, I want you to go home to your wife. You go home to your wife." And Uriah said, no, to David. He said, "No, our men are at battle. We are fighting. I'm not going to go home to my wife." Now understand, David wanted Uriah's wife to go home so David would sleep with his wife. So that Uriah would sleep with his wife so that David would not be blamed for that pregnancy. The Bible says that in 2 Samuel 11:11, "And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab, and the servants of the Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul liveth, I will not do this thing." You know, the king wanted Uriah to go home and sleep with his wife. You know what Uriah did? He slept on the front porch of the king. He said, nope. He said, I'm going to be loyal to the cause. I'm not going to do that. You say, you don't hear the name Uriah a whole lot. I happen to believe that Uriah is one of the greatest men of the entire Old Testament. Man, he stayed loyal when he was being betrayed. He stayed loyal to right. He stayed loyal to good. You know something? He stood, and I believe that Uriah is a great, great picture of loyalty to Christ and loyalty to the Bible and loyalty to decency and loyalty to the cause. I appreciate that. But you know, to be honest, we have a Uriah in our church. He's the only man I've ever met in my life named Uriah. I never met one. Oh, we've watched people name their kids a lot of things. What a great name. What a great name. I mean, if you really study the story of Uriah, this guy named Uriah, he was somebody. But you don't hear much about Uriah. You say, Pastor, I've never even heard the name Uriah, really? Yeah, unknown to us. I'll guarantee you, known to God. I wonder. I don't think Micaiah, when he took his stand with Jehoshaphat and with Ahab, I don't think that he was trying to become known. I think he was trying to do right. I don't think when Vashti took her stand for modesty and purity, I don't think she did that to get attention. I think she did that to stay right with God. I don't think that when that boy gave his lunch of the loaves and the fish, I don't think he was trying to get his name written down in the Bible. I think he was trying to do the right thing. That's all he was doing. I think that when Uriah did right, he was just doing the right thing and trying to handle himself the right way and trying to serve God the best that he could. He wasn't trying to become popular. He wasn't trying to get his name written down somewhere. But I'll guarantee you, you may not have ever heard of Uriah, but God has heard of that name, Uriah. Uriah is unknown to most, but well known to God. I was thinking, there's another story in the Bible, the unknown servant in the story of Naaman and Naaman's servant, a little lady. She's unknown to us, but she is very well known to God. Let me read a couple of verses from the story to you. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" I'll see if I can tell you the story. Naaman was a mighty captain, and he had leprosy. His wife had a little maid, a little slave girl that worked under her. Naaman had a terrible, terrible case of leprosy. This little slave girl knew of Elisha, the man of God. And she said one day to Naaman's wife, said, "Would God, your husband, could get to the man of God in Samaria. Would to God he could get to Elisha." And you know what happened? Elisha ends up meeting Naaman, and he heals Naaman of his terrible leprosy. And nobody knows the name of that girl. Oh, but she had confidence in the working of God. She had confidence in the man of God. She had confidence in what God could do. Her name's not even mentioned. But boy, you talk about somebody that is important. You talk about somebody that accomplished something great. Who would have ever thought that that little slave girl could take the mighty captain of the entire army, convince him to go down, meet with the man of God so he could have his entire life salvaged and his health salvaged? Here's somebody that we don't even know the name, but God knew the name. And God to this day knows the name. That little maiden, she's not an Esther, she's not a Ruth, she's not a Lydia, she's not a Mary, I don't know her name. She may be unknown to me, she may be unknown to you, but she's known to God. Here's somebody that believed God as an unknown person. And you know, I believe this, I think there are people in our church, and there are some people of great faith, and I could name some names, and you would say, yeah, that man or that lady, we all know who they are, and they're people of great faith. But I've got news for you folks. I think a church like this is not made up just of those names that we all know that are people of great faith. I think there's some humble people that walk in the back doors of this church building that they believe God, and they stand for God, and they love God. And nobody much knows their name, but they're the real deal. And I think God looks down and says, it's not just those that you know that have great faith, it's some that you don't know, and they have great faith. And you don't even know who they are, but God said, I know who they are. I know who they are. You say, Pastor, I feel like such a small part of the church. Oh, I'm going to guess that that little maid of Naaman's wife, she probably felt like she was a small part of things. I'm going to guess that lad, when he gave up his loaves and the few fish that he had in his lunch, I'm going to guess he probably felt like, I'm such a small part of this thing. Can you imagine how he felt when Jesus began to distribute the food and ended up feeding probably 8,000 or 9,000 people off that boy's lunch? You know, the good part about it is, Brother Dave, the Bible says when he got done, they gave him the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets full. When Jesus puts out a spread, he does a buffet. He goes all the way. But yet we don't know their names. You say, Pastor, I'd like to be known. Let me recommend something to you. You'd be far better off not. I'll guarantee it. Just take my word for it. Known? Known? No, unknown, yet known. Unknown, yet known. That was Micaiah. That was Vashti. That was a lad that gave up his lunches. That was a Uriah. That was the maid that helped Naaman to be healed. I got to thinking, there's a lady in the Old Testament. Some have heard her name, but many have not. Her name is Jael. Jael. Unknown by most. Oh, but known by God. In Judges chapter 4, verse number 21, the Bible says, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples. I always thought that was funny. She went softly and bashed him in the head with the nail. So much finesse in her operations there. And fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. The children of Israel in this story were in bondage, and Sisera was the captain of the army of the Canaanites. A battle took place, and Sisera came and hid in this lady's tent. She gave him milk and had him take a nap. And while he was asleep, she put a nail through the temple of his head. She did that which was hard. You know, there are a lot of people in Christianity that are doing the hard thing, and you don't even know who they are. I would say to everybody in here, there's some of you, you think you've got a hard path to take. There are probably others that have a far harder path to take, and you don't even know who they are. And they do it without a lot of fanfare, and they do it without a lot of attention, and they just do what they have to do. And I think there are people here in our church and people in Christianity that they do the hard thing, but nobody knows them. You know, you hear the testimony from time to time. I mean, who's not heard the name Job? Everybody's heard the name Job. Well, let me tell you something. I think there are people right here in our church that suffer, and you don't even know they suffer. They don't even tell you that they suffer. You don't even know what they go through. You don't even know what they face. But they do the hard thing. They do the thing that's a challenge. They do something they've got uphill climbs. And you say, but nobody knows who I am, Pastor. Oh, let me tell you something. God knows. God knows. Unknown by man, yet known by God. She did the hard thing. I was thinking of the widow and her two mites. You say, oh, I've heard of her. What was her name? Unknown. Yet? Known. Boy, isn't the Word of God powerful? Unknown, yet known. Mark chapter 12, verse 42, and there came a certain widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. See, Jesus was overseeing an offering. The rich had put much in. A poor widow came and she threw in two mites, which maybe had been worth about 8 cents in our day. But it was all that she had. And Jesus gave her credit for having given the most. You say, why is that? Because your gift is not based on what you gave. Your gift is based on what you have left after you've given. And that's the part God knows that nobody else knows. You say, look at how much I gave. God said, let me see how much you have left. He said, I want everybody to see how much I gave. God said, I want to see how much you have left. Because sacrifice is not based on what you gave. Sacrifice is on how much you, based on how much you have left after you've given. And God looks at sacrifice. Oh, she gave all. And you say, well, it was only two mites. When all you have is two mites and you give it all, it's equivalent to if you had $100,000 and you gave it all. All equals all. And who was that? What's her name? I don't know. Is her name Mary? No, that's not the one. Is it Lydia? No, that's not the one. Is it Esther? No, that's not the one. No. What's her name? I don't know. Nobody knows. Well, I'm sorry. God knows. God knows. I really believe this. I believe that there are children that come into our church that have a few pennies in their pocket. Have y'all seen children give? They'll just give. Take every penny they have in their pocket and they'll give it to God. And you men that do the counting of our offering every once in a while, glance at a penny or two and realize somebody came in here and gave everything they had. Say, who, preacher? I don't know. But I know God knows. There are people in our midst who have sacrificed, and we may not know. And the person sitting beside you may not know, but I'm going to promise you God knows. There are people here, you've stood for what's right, and maybe nobody got to see you stand for what's right, but God saw it. You say, Pastor, nobody knows who I am much. Look, whether anybody knows who you are or not, your God knows who you are. Hey, there are no big shots with God. Everybody counts, and everybody is somebody as unknown, yet well known. I know who Noah is, and I know who Moses is, and Elijah, and David, and Mary, and Paul, and Peter, and Esther. But I'll guarantee you, if you wanted, you could start in the book of Genesis and go through the book of Revelation, and you'll find all sorts of people that did some marvelous things for God, and their name never got recorded, but in heaven, they're in heaven's hall of fame, and God knows who they are, and God recorded what they did, and God knew them, and God blessed them, and God used them, and they're just as important, maybe in some cases more important than some of the big shots. Hey, the greatness in a church, not usually what you'd think it is. It's a common, everyday folk that just show up and do what they're supposed to do and do it the way they're supposed to do it without any fanfare, not much attention. They just do it. When I was teaching Bible college many years ago, we did a little research. We found out that the average church in America, their attendance is about 70. I'm not against big churches. I love big churches. I think the New Testament Church of Jerusalem was a powerhouse church, and it was our example church. But I will tell you this. All those little churches that are staying true to the old time religion, those Baptist churches out there that preach the Bible as purely as they're supposed to. Pastors you don't know, names you don't know, churches you don't know, but people that are staying true to the Word of God, that is probably the strength of America. Unknown, and yet, to God, well known. You might not have the biggest Sunday school class. You might have the biggest bus route. You might not have a whole bunch of numbers that you throw around with your soul winning, but let me tell you something. You be faithful to God. God knows who you are. Because He mentions those that are unknown and yet well known. I was speaking at a conference and I was in a hurry. They'd taken me to the hotel and it took me then from the hotel to the church service where I was going to speak, and there was another speaker. He was a local man, and he was going to speak first, and I was going to speak second. And he and I were off in the pastor's office about 15 minutes before the service, and we were talking for a moment, and he stepped out, and one of the men from his church stepped in. And this man from his church began to tell me about his pastor. I'd never met the pastor before, the man that was speaking first in the night. I would close out the evening, and this man from the other preacher, the pastor's church, he began to say, "You're preaching with my pastor tonight." I said, "I am. We've never met before." The man began to weep. He said, "I think my pastor's the greatest man on the face of the earth. When he prays, he gets a hold of God. He has faith. He changed my life. He's changing lives. He's making a difference everywhere he goes." And I thought, what a great man. What a great man. You say, "Preacher, what's his name?" I'm sad to say I can't even remember. I can't even remember his name. But I know this. Unknown to me, yet well known. I said to the pastor, he stepped into his office. He said, "Okay, fellas, it's time to go." I said, "Preacher, could you do me a favor? Could I speak first tonight?" He said, "Oh, Brother Owens, you should close out." I said, "Sir, could I speak first tonight? I think Brother so-and-so ought to close us out." Because I understood I was in the presence of greatness. And folks, sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, there's probably some greatness that you don't even know about. Because they're not seeking fanfare. They're just humbly serving God as unknown, yet well known. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and we'll show you and introduce you to the greatest and the one that you need to know, which is Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again." Would you raise your hand? We'll pray for you. If you need to be saved when the altar calls comes, you come and we'll help you. Hey, Christian, there's some of you say, "Preacher, nobody knows me around here." Listen, God knows. You'd be shocked. There are probably some folks that know. But yet, you just keep your eyes on the Savior. Let's all be careful how we treat one another. Let's be careful. There's some great people sitting among you. You just don't know who they are. Who here today would say, "Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I know God has spoken to me specifically about something today in this service." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. And to some of you, you say, "Pastor, I do my duty. I never get much promotion. I never hear my name being spoken." Let today's sermon be an encouragement to you. God knows who you are. And God is going to bless you for doing the right thing, even when nobody sees it. We're going to have a time of altar call. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Would you all stand? If you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? Just keep serving God. Just keep doing right. Young people, keep doing right. You say, "But nobody knows that I'm doing right." Just keep doing right. Humble church member. Not in the limelight. Your name doesn't show up printed anywhere around the church. You don't stand in the pulpit and preach, and maybe you don't get up and sing. But you serve God and you do it humbly, and you're not seeking attention and you're not seeking notoriety. You just want to be faithful. You just want to serve God. You're doing the best you can. You stood for right, nobody knew it. You sacrificed, but nobody knew it. You gave everything you had, nobody knew it. You were loyal, nobody saw it. Didn't get any credit for it. You say, I'm unknown. Yeah, you're unknown yet. Well known. As unknown, yet well known. And I think when we get to heaven, I think there are going to be some people that will be called forward and God will reward them. And you're going to say, I've never even heard of that person before. Maybe somebody from your church, you don't even know what they've done in a great way for God. And I think some of the names that you hear all the time are going to be in the back of the line. God's going to call some people forward. We're very humble. Hey, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out the name of that boy that brought the few loaves and the few fish. We're going to find out what his name is. Say, who you want to meet when we get to heaven? I want to find out. I want to find that widow and her mites. We'll find out who she is. She's somebody. This is the last time through the song. In a moment, we're going to be on our way. Hey, and let me tell you, if you're looking for fanfare and flash and you just want attention, oh, might I recommend that we all humbly serve the Lord? Serve Him with humility in your heart. And if you are one of those and you are in the background, know that God knows. God knows. Thank you, Rachel.